From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty with the news on this day in Maine, Friday, August 9th, 2019.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by the Dempsey Challenge. Run, walk, or bike this September to help the Dempsey Center support those impacted by cancer. DempseyChallenge.org.
Republican U.S. Senator Susan Collins was greeted by protesters yesterday when she arrived for a campaign fundraiser in Northeast Harbor, hosted by the man described as President Donald Trump's judge whisperer. Leonard Leo's the executive vice president of the Federalist Society, and he recommended Brett Kavanaugh for the Supreme Court. Collins has been strongly criticized for her vote to confirm Kavanaugh, who is seen by pro-choice advocates as a real danger to Roe v. Wade. Meanwhile, the campaign committee for Republican U.S. Senate candidates has deployed mobile billboards depicting Democratic candidate Betsy Sweet alongside far-left politicians. The ads are paid for by the National Republican Senate Committee and designed to intensify the Democratic primary between Sweet and Maine House Speaker Sarah Gideon, both of whom are challenging Senator Collins. In a tweet, Sweet thanked the NRSC for the publicity. 76-year-old Albert Flick has been sentenced to life in prison. He was convicted in July of stabbing Kimberly Dobby to death in front of her children. Previously, he served a 25-year sentence for stabbing his wife to death in front of her daughter in 1979. The University of Vermont will receive a new federal grant to start a center on rural addiction that'll serve Vermont, New Hampshire, and Maine. VPR's Liam Elder Connors reports.
Vermont Senator Patrick Leahy helped the Federal Department of Health and Human Services secure funds to address the opioid crisis in rural areas. And this week, Vermont was selected as one of three states to get the money. The other states are New York and Georgia. The $6.6 million will help establish an infrastructure for UVM to develop and test methods for addressing opioid addiction in rural areas. Stephen Leffler is interim president of UVM Medical Center.
A big component of this grant is it links together our providers with researchers, with other components of the community to provide not only new novel ways to treat people with chronic pain and addiction, but also other community partnerships to wrap support around them.
The new UVM Center on Rural Addiction will also serve New Hampshire and Maine. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Liam Elder Connors.
And in weather tonight, partly cloudy with isolated showers and thunderstorms. Lows overnight in the low 50s to low 60s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny statewide with the chance of afternoon showers and thunderstorms. Highs in the low 70s to low 80s. Partly cloudy at night with lows in the mid 40s to the mid 50s. Sunday, mostly sunny, highs in the 70s. Monday, mostly sunny, highs in the low 70s to low 80s.
This past week on Maine Calling, Monday, the Commissioner of Economic and Community Development. Tuesday, how moose are faring in Maine.
You know, if a moose is standing there on the side of the road, it needs space, it needs time to move off.
Wednesday, historic preservation. Thursday, children's book author illustrators.
I get a lot of ideas in the shower.
And Friday, the chamber music group Time for Three. Maine Calling, online anytime at mainecalling.org.
In prepared remarks following two deadly mass shootings last weekend in Texas and Ohio, President Donald Trump vowed to give federal authorities the tools they need to investigate and stop domestic terror attacks. But news reports indicate that since taking office, the president's administration has diverted resources away from the monitoring and disruption of these kinds of attacks. Now, two members of Maine's congressional delegation are calling on the administration to restore a federal unit that once helped local law enforcement to intercede. Steve Missler has our story.
Former Homeland Security official George Saleem, who is now with the Anti-Defamation League, delivered a dire warning in May to the House Oversight and Government Reform Subcommittee on Civil Rights and Civil Liberties.
The data is clear. The white supremacist threat in the United States is at disturbingly high levels, and we must work together now to ensure that the worst is not yet to come.
Saleem also cited a study released by the ADL in January, showing that of the 50 murders committed at the hands of extremists last year, all but one were linked to right-wing extremism, and 78% were tied to white supremacy. And then there's this 2017 statistic from the University of Maryland's terrorism database.
71% of Islamist-inspired extremists in the U.S. were interdicted in the planning phase of their terrorist plots. On the other hand, far-right extremists, the inverse is the case. Nearly 71% managed to successfully commit their acts of violence.
That statistic does not include mass shootings at the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh, another at a garlic festival in California, or the recent shooting in El Paso, which authorities are treating as an act of domestic terrorism and possibly a hate crime allegedly perpetrated by a white supremacist. Meanwhile, the LA Times reported this week that the administration has taken resources away from efforts to counter anti-government, far-right, and white supremacist groups and directed more toward Islamic extremism.
The president is so quick to blame, you know, people from other countries, but doesn't always want to look at the activity that's going on here at home.
In the wake of last week's shootings, Democratic Congresswoman Shelley Pingree of Maine has criticized the Trump administration for disbanding a domestic terror unit within DHS that monitored burgeoning terror plots and coordinated with local law enforcement to help stop them. In April, Acting DHS Secretary Kevin McAleenan announced that a new unit had been created, but the LA Times reported this week that it has far fewer resources. The former unit had 40 full-time staff and a $24 million budget. The new one has 10 full-timers and a $3 million budget. Pingree says that's woefully insufficient.
At a moment when the FBI is saying, you know, we have to have more investigation of this and we have to follow, you know, some of the activity that's going on the internet and make sure that we are calling this what it is an act of domestic terrorism in our country.
In an interview with CBS This Morning earlier this week, McAleen had acknowledged that more funding is needed.
We need to invest more, no question. In my first week as acting secretary, we stood up that office. I've asked Congress for an out-of-cycle budget request to help bolster it.
Independent Senator Angus King of Maine, who has called disbanding the old terror unit a mistake, says he hopes President Trump will see that the new funding goes through. But King is also skeptical of the president's commitment to the cause.
My observation of the president has been, if he's reading from a teleprompter, he may not mean it.
For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Have a fabulous weekend. I'm Nora Flaherty.